Hey, this is Laura, and you're listening to Expand. Welcome back, love. Let's get into it. Hello. I hope that you loved the creative ritual from our last segment of this series. I hope that you've played with it a little bit, tried it on, really explored the energy shift that it offered you or didn't offer you. That's definitely also a valid outcome. And that you've really allowed yourself the chance to open to a new way of creating, to a deeper desire that lives in the fires of your belly, that there's something there that's trying to come out that can't be rushed, that can't be strategized around at this point because it's just being birthed for the first time. So today I want to talk a bit about that. When we have this new idea, when we have a new direction that we want to move in, and we lack that clarity, we don't yet know exactly what it's going to look like. We don't have all of the answers. We don't know the result that we're going to get people. We don't know necessarily every little part of what it is we're going to offer or how we're even going to facilitate the transformation that we can feel we are capable of. Where do we start? Right? When we first sit down to a new idea, our mind likes to grab us, doesn't it? It likes to take us directly to the deliverables. How many weeks is this program going to be? How many calls are they going to get? What's going to happen on those calls? What am I going to teach them? How are they going to change? What is the guarantee that I'm standing on? What is it that people are buying? How am I going to market it? How am I going to sell it? What is the price going to be? Like, our mind goes immediately to those questions. When really, if you zoom out, your heart doesn't care about any of that, does it? Your heart doesn't care what you price it at or how many weeks it is. It doesn't care about landing pages or websites or your messaging on social media. It doesn't care the label you're trying to give yourself as a coach, if you're changing directions, if you're no longer a weight loss coach, for example, and now what do I call myself? I'm completely changing how I work with people. What am I now? And we kind of have this identity crisis a little bit in this process of stripping away what was to create something new that in our eyes hasn't been done before. Because the reality is when we birth something from a fire deep in our belly, what's about to come out has never been done before, right? What we're about to create is a culmination of all of our lived experiences, all of the things that we've come to value, and all of the beliefs that we have come to reject, the ways of the world that serve us and the ways of the world that cause us to abandon ourselves. And we want to bring all of this into a program to allow others to have the same life transformation that perhaps we were able to create for ourselves, or to have the same experience that we ourselves had along a portion of our growth journey, a portion of our evolution. And I think that's beautiful, but it's also really messy, isn't it? There is no clear-cut path to that. So naturally, our mind goes to, well, what's the right way? How do I create a 12-week program? How do I create a 6-month program? What happens in there? How do I facilitate change? How do I facilitate these calls? What do I teach people? Of course, our mind goes to those big questions because the ego wants to be in control. It wants to feel like the people that come into that program are going to receive the value that we want them to receive, that transformation is a guarantee for them. And that's the first step that we need to full stop at and really examine if we are to move forward and create something from our heart, right? In the first episode of this series, I was exploring with you how when we create from our heart space, it is so much less about trying to guarantee a very specific change for someone, and much more about opening up a space for that person to experience the transformation that's meant for them while being held in a safe, supportive, vulnerable, intimate way. Okay, so when we're working with people, beyond something that's tangibly measurable or can be manipulated externally, like weight loss, for example, is something that we have factors that we can manipulate to try and facilitate some sort of external outcome, though of course it's not that black and white. But when we're working with human emotion, like the ability to cultivate self-trust, the ability to release our grip on the scale, our ability to be present, our ability to release self-judgment, self-criticism, our ability to honor our deeper desires, honor what it is that we actually want for our lives instead of living our life based on what other people want for us. When we're working with variables like that, we can't guarantee a time frame in which that's going to happen, can we? Our ego doesn't like that though. Our ego goes, okay, but who's gonna buy that? Who's gonna buy that? If you can't guarantee this transformation, how are you ever gonna sell that? How are you ever gonna buy that? But you're forgetting that the guarantee of that transformation happening on your timeline is the whole problem. Your ego wants to be in control of someone else's transformation because on some level it wants to take credit for creating that transformation, and in taking credit for that it feels valuable and it feels confident to then sell that transformation to others. And in the absence of being able to take credit for someone else's transformation, it becomes really about a game of, can I trust myself to hold space for someone to have whatever transformation with me that they're meant to have without attaching my value to their outcome? That requires immense growth on your part. To feel safe yourself, to hold space for another, to guide them from a place of, this is what I know, this is what I see, this is how I would love to support you. What feels true for you on your own time? Let's follow what you are ready for. That takes the deepest level of courage for you as the coach, as the facilitator, as the guide, as the leader. It takes the deepest level of self-assurance, of being able to feel safe in your own emotions to be able to then allow your client to feel safe in theirs. When we ourselves don't feel safe to stand on our own without creating a very specific outcome that validates our worth, when we need that outcome to feel safe, we are never actually truly safe. We are never actually truly safe. Because our safety always depends on something outside of us happening. True safety is feeling safe in your own worth, in what your value truly is, which is what you see, not just what you know, which is your energy, not just the change you create. It's the space you hold. It's how you make people feel in your presence. That is your true value, right? Feeling safe inside of that, irregardless of outcome, is where great leaders are born, right? A great leader doesn't need their clients to see things their way or to do things their way. A great leader encourages their people to do things in their way, on their timeline, and makes them feel safe inside of that. Just think about the change that you would create in your clients if you stopped trying to rush an outcome and you were totally okay with however long it took, and you were so detached from needing their money in order to feel safe, needing their result in order to feel valuable. And you were just the space for them to step into and to really explore themselves for the first time ever. Our ego says no one will buy that, but That is, it's so funny to witness in ourselves, because when you think about what you most want in your life, in your business, it's to feel safe to follow your own path. It's to feel safe exactly where you are. It's to feel enough exactly who you are, exactly as you are, without needing to be anywhere else or to be anyone else. Right? What if our conversation shifted from, let's get somewhere else so that we can feel good, so we can be happy, so that we can be confident, so that we can feel successful and safe and secure and validated and significant, and we instead shifted the conversation to, let's slow everything down, let's work on being present with ourselves, let's explore the inner workings of your mind and your emotions and where you don't trust yourself and where you abandon yourself, and where you outsource your confidence and where you outsource your decision making, and bring all of that back home, inbound, into yourself to feel safe inside of that and move forward in your life from that place. Where would your decisions change? Who would you no longer be? Who would you become? What would you do in your life? Like, that conversation alone is so freeing. But if you asked anyone in the traditional coaching space, that's wrong, isn't it? We'll be made wrong for that because it's not marketable. And I want you to really understand something here. If you've been in a coaching program before, a business coaching program before, where you brought some of these ideas to the table and you were shut down, it's not because that idea wasn't valid. It's not because it's not beautiful. It's not because the world doesn't need it or people don't want it. It's because the leader of that space could not attach their value to an outcome that they couldn't guarantee in you. And so their ego was challenged and shut you down so that you would take the predictable path towards an outcome that they could guarantee, so that they could feel good, so that they could feel safe. It had nothing to do with you and everything to do with their insecurity and the work that they haven't done on themselves to hold a space for you to have an original idea that didn't make logical sense, but made a whole lot of emotional sense, and trust yourself to move on it, even though the next step wasn't perfect, even though the path wasn't beautifully paved. Okay, I know there's a lot of shame that has existed in experiences like that and in interactions like that, where you maybe it took you a lot to bring to the surface the courage that you needed to verbalize wanting to do things in a different way, and to be shut down in that moment was incredibly shaming and embarrassing and made you feel really small, made you shrink in that moment when you really just needed someone to hold that space and say, okay, what if? What could that look like? Tell me more about what you're picturing. What would that experience be for you and for them? Okay, so in this moment, I want nothing more than to reopen that conversation, to unlock that part of you that you shoved deep, deep, deep down, and you swore you'd never look at again because you never wanted to experience the pain of being shamed for thinking differently than someone else. And who am I to have a different thought because that person is so successful, so they must be right. Right? Being right or doing things the right way is subjective to the person. So when we outsource our opinion about ourselves, what we see the world needs, what we see people are craving, what it is we most want to create, when we outsource whether that's right or wrong, whether that's going to work or fail, to someone else, instead of asking ourselves first, why does this pull me? Why does this light me up? Why does this feel like a burning in my stomach that I can't ignore any longer? Instead of accessing that first, we outsource it to someone else and say, what do you think? And they say, I don't get it, or that won't work. That's just such a shame, because we're not realizing in that moment that that response is coming from their ego and has nothing to do with whether or not what we feel arising within us could be the path for us. I think in that moment, we outsource that decision around whether we should move in this direction or not to someone outside of ourselves who appears to be more successful, who we see as superior in some way, who we have on a pedestal in some way. We do that because we want to feel safe in taking that step, right? We want to feel safe that everything's going to be okay. It's going to work out. This will take us where we're meant to go. That's what we're really looking for, isn't it? And when someone says to us, no, that won't work, it really just, it blows that flame out temporarily. So let's reignite it now. Let's reignite it in this moment. Because whether something works or doesn't work is not the goal here. When you're creating from your heart, when you're creating something that you know the world needs, there's no question around whether it's going to work or not work, because the path you're laying is the path that's meant for the people who are coming to you, who are calling you to create in this way. When we detach from the outcome of something needing to work in order to pave that path, it can't not work. Because whether it creates external success or not, it creates a shift in us. It builds self-trust. It builds sovereignty. It builds self-expression. It builds creativity. It builds a groundedness in who you are as a person, and it allows you to speak from a completely different place, doesn't it? It allows you to detach from the egos of others. It allows you to embrace the ego of yourself and separate yourself from it so that you can actually hear what your heart has to say. So in this moment, I just want you to close your eyes and I want you to picture all of the moments where you were made to feel wrong for thinking a certain way or wanting to create something that felt really exciting for you in one moment, and in an instant that emotion was snatched from you because it didn't fit someone else's projected model of what they wanted for you so that they could feel good about themselves. And I want you to hold compassion and light around each of those people who snatched that away from you, because it wasn't their fault they took it. And it wasn't your fault that you let them take it. It was simply just that you were not yet aware enough to know what was happening, and neither were they. And there's nothing wrong about that. That had to happen for you to be in this moment and to recognize that is happening to your clients as well. You had to experience that to be able to see with a deeper compassion what's happening when your client wants to move in a different direction, when they want to stop chasing weight loss or any other external outcome that they've been marketed to their whole life, and they're searching for the space that you are trying to create. Can you see that? Your experience with your mentors in your life, when you were made to feel wrong for wanting to take a different path, was to set the stage for you to pave that path and hold other people through that exact same transition so that they can feel safe to step in a new direction with you, so that you could make them feel safe once they do take that step. And so you can speak to them there about those experiences and about how they shaped the way that they've been conditioned to look at themselves, to look at the possibilities in their life. This is such an important element to releasing the need to create things the right way and instead learning how to access what is it that I most want to offer the people who have experienced those same shaming moments, those same moments of self-judgment, of self-blame, of failure, of not really fitting into the box that they've been trying to shove themselves into, of not measuring up to the results that their friends were getting, even though they were doing everything exactly the same, or whatever the case may be for them. Your experience shaped the foundation upon which these conversations get to be had, upon which the change that they actually most deeply desire can be created with you on their timeline. Okay, so in order to do this, there's a couple of strategies that I use every time I sit down to create something new. The first is, instead of thinking about the deliverables, like our mind wants to take us, how long is this program? What am I going to teach? How many people? When are the calls? How much is it? Instead of thinking about that, so I'm just going to have a sip of water. Instead of thinking about that first, those elements are important to explore, but we can't lead with that because that's all ego. That's all, how can I guarantee a result that my ego can be happy with so that I can feel valuable, right? So instead of starting there, we want to start with the simple question of, what is the experience that I want to create for these people? And what is the experience that I want to have for myself? I think when we think about creating a space, there's an experience that exists in that space. And when we start with the question of what is the experience that I want to create for others, we now open ourselves up to creating an experience in a myriad of different ways versus from our conditioning. Let me explain. When we think about what do I want to create from a conditioned egoic place, our mind goes to that which we've always known are options, such as 12-week programs, 6-month programs, 1-to-1, hybrid programs, membership, right? Our mind slots into these very traditional models, and it doesn't allow us to explore a new way of doing things. You know, who are we to say that the way that you actually want to create this experience for your people has never been done before and you are going to be the pioneer of it? Who's to say? Right? Who's to say that you aren't going to have a creative download that actually changes your industry? Who's to say that's not you? You are. That's the only block from opening yourself up to doing things in a completely different way and feeling safe inside of moving in that direction. Your ego. Your ego telling you that you don't know enough. Like, who are you to? Right? So if we remove that ego initially and we just go, okay, what is the experience that I really want to create for these people? Where does your mind go? My mind goes emotional first. What is the emotional experience I want to create? For me, when I created the Secret Garden, the emotional experience I wanted to create for every coach that stepped into my space was safety and intimacy and vulnerability. That became my pillars. That became my, my guidepost. My guidepost for every decision I made from that place moving forward. And the beautiful thing is that guidepost for the experience I want to create for others also became the guidepost for the experience that I wanted to create for myself. I want to feel safe in that space. I want to feel vulnerable in that space. I want to experience intimacy in that space with my students. And when you get clear on that, what happens is you start to see how, okay, if I want them to feel intimately connected to their journey, if I want them to feel intimately connected to each other, if I want vulnerability to exist, then what needs to happen? Can it be a traditional program where everyone moves through step by step, module by module, solo, without any sort of real interaction with me? Right? Because traditional coaching would suggest that when you run a group program, the idea is that it's self-led and then they hop on Q&A calls and you answer their questions and they go back into self-led practice or learning in implementation, right? But I knew that if I wanted intimacy to exist, if I wanted there to be vulnerability in my rooms, if I wanted people to feel fully safe with me, I had to have conversations that extended far beyond knowledge-based learnings alone, knowledge-based teachings alone. Like, I needed to invite in interaction with me around conversations that were not being had anywhere else. I wanted to shine a light into the dark corners of their soul so that we could actually explore what's there and put that on the stage and allow that part of them to speak. Very much so like how I'm putting myself on my own stage and allowing myself to explore conversations with them that are taboo in the rest of the industry. Such as trauma that's existing in business coaching containers, such as how we are shamed for thinking differently and how to recultivate self-trust within ourselves. Like, those conversations are really hard and very deep and require an immense amount of safety with me and with themselves in order to be had effectively. So very quickly, just from asking yourself, what is the experience emotionally that I want my people to have with me? Now we can start to look at, okay, well, if I want someone to feel this way, what needs to structurally be in place in order to support that? Can I really be removed from this experience in the way that I'm told I should be? Right? Can I really, should I be creating boundaries with my clients around the time that I'm available? Should I be only jumping on one Q&A call every 2 weeks? Or does there need to be a deeper sense of community? Does there need to be a deeper sense of vulnerability? And if so, how can I facilitate that? Are there different types of rooms that I want to hold where different types of conversations get to be had? Like, what sorts of experiences do I want to create? Is it really just Q&A based, where I'm answering questions and giving them knowledge-based answers? Or is it emotional shifts that I want to cultivate? Do I want a space where people feel safe to share with each other and witness each other? Do I want to cultivate meditation sessions? Do I want to create an embodiment room where people can actually tap back into their somatic experience? Like, very quickly from this very simple question, we start to access a new level of creativity in what it is that we actually want to facilitate. The trick is not allowing your ego to hijack that and go, that won't work, or you'll burn out, or no one will want that, or you don't have enough time, that will take too much time, people won't pay what that's worth. Separating all of those egoic thoughts from the experience itself and just focusing on what would nourish my people the most so that they feel the safest to step into a different kind of journey with me? And what would nourish me? What do I need to feel fully nourished? We forget that part of it, don't we? We think first and foremost, naturally, what will people want? What will people buy? But we forget that, like I said in our first session, you have to still hold that. Your experience inside of this space matters immensely. Like, you need to be selfish in thinking, what would nourish you? What feels playful for you? What feels fluid for you? I know for me, when I was creating The Secret Garden, I wanted fluidity to speak into the topics that were on my heart the moment they dropped in. So I created a weekly room where I have the ability to be flexible and fluid and just speak into topics that I saw coming up in our community that lit me up, that I really just wanted to pour into my students around. And I wanted big, open, juicy spaces to be able to pour for hours if I wanted. So I created my monthly workshops where I get to step in and bring new conversations to the table and hold my people through an experience in that room. And I wanted Q&A sessions where I could offer hot seats and really interact with my students. So I created a room for that. And all of this got to exist inside of a membership space. And then of course there's teachings and there's community interaction and there's the deepest level of intimacy, because I lead with intimacy. I created it from the place of my own evolution. I share the turbulence that I'm going through. And from that place, people feel safe to then share the turbulence that they're going through. And we get to have a relationship around that. Everyone there knows nothing is off the table. So for you, if that's something that you desire, if you desire an engaged, intimate, vulnerable space where people are connected to each other and you feel excited to show up in, you have to ask yourself, what do you want? You may not want what I just described. I know a lot of my students don't. They don't want to hold the bigness of that space. They don't want that depth of interaction. That's not wrong. It's not wrong to not want that. What's wrong is denying what it is you actually want. So here's a strategy I like to use to get clear on this, because a lot of the time when I talk about this, it can feel really overwhelming thinking, well, I need to figure out what I want, right? The easiest way I've found to figure out what you want is to first figure out what you don't want. When you get clear on what is the experience I want people to have, how do I want them to feel with me, and how do I want to feel with them, what does this not look like? What does this not include? What do you not want to be responsible for? What do you not want to be creating around? What do you not want to be talking about? How do you not want to be showing up? Who are the people you don't want in this space? Like, get clear. What do you not want this to be? What do you not want this to look like? How do you not want this to feel? And from there, it can feel really easy then to counter that with, okay, this is what I don't want. Here are the things that I do want. And watch your mind go, that's not possible. Watch your mind go, that will never work. And ignore that for now and just be really honest with yourself. I want to talk with my students once a month. Great. You want to talk with them once a month? You're probably not also going to have a really intimate community. Are you comfortable with that? Does this community need to have deep intimacy, or is that maybe a different offer that's waiting to be created down the road? Where are your values, right? Allowing the emotional experience you want to have and you want your clients to have to be the guidepost around every decision that you make. So if intimacy, vulnerability, and safety for me were my non-negotiables, every decision came back to, will that increase the intimacy and vulnerability and safety that I'm creating in this experience? And if the answer was no, I either had to shift that element or I had to change it completely, get rid of it and substitute it in for something new, right? So I had to do a lot of work around, for example, I wanted a deep, intimate, vulnerable community because that fuels my passion, that fuels my fire. And so I had to recognize that inefficiency was going to be a big part of that. Creating actual relationships with people takes energy and effort, doesn't it? And learning the art of creating a relationship that is held with such respect that we don't need to set a firm boundary separating us from them is an art. An art that took me a lot of years to practice, and something that I'm not going to get into here because that'll be a whole other episode, I'm sure, at some point. But understanding that when we come back to the guidepost of what you want the experience to be, the don't list becomes really easy, and then the do list gets to be a byproduct of that. And that's when we start to create clarity around, okay, so how often do I want to communicate with them? What does this look like in terms of knowledge versus deeper conversations around what their daily experience is, and a coaching situation where I can actually engage with someone in real time and move them through a block? Is this a one-to-one coaching setting, or is this a group? Do I want the fluidity to be able to bounce around and wear many different hats, or is it something where this is actually a much smaller pocket? It's just like a first step, and I want to wear one hat, and the purpose of this room is for one very specific outcome. Like, nothing is right or wrong here. I think understanding that when you're creating from a place of, this is the experience I want someone to have, this is the experience that I want to have, you can't be wrong, because you're creating from the heart, not the ego. And then once the heart, the foundation from the heart is set, we can layer in the tangible external pieces, like how many calls, like what am I pricing this at? Because that is creating structure around how it is you're going to speak into what it is you're creating for people to experience with you. We still need those elements, but it can't be the foundation of what you're creating. Right? I think too, the last piece to this that I'd like to offer is this idea that you actually don't even really need a formal program in order to hold people through an experience. I think that there's, and this will be controversial perhaps, but we've been conditioned to just think about coaching in the form of programs, right? In the form of, I'm either group coaching or one-to-one coaching. I either have a program with modules, or I have like a one-to-one container and I'm just coaching people in real time. But understand that that is just your conditioning based on experiences that you've been shown, the people that you follow, the way that things have always been done. That doesn't necessarily mean that you need a program, a program in terms of modules in order to hold people in a group setting, right? So if you don't want to create knowledge-based modules, you want to bring community together and allow people to feel intimately connected to each other and coach people in real time and trust yourself to hold that space and teach and educate, of course, in that space as well, but make it more so about the connection that they feel and the safety that they feel, and allow for them to sink into an experience of unraveling together, of really discovering who they are through the work that you're doing collectively as a group. Can you feel okay with knowing that there is no predetermined outcome? There is no 12-month journey, that this is a space that people step into for however long they feel connected to it. And that isn't a reflection on you or your value, but really just a reflection on the safety that you have with yourself to hold that person for the journey that they've decided that they're linking arms with you for, right? That requires a lot of growth. That requires a lot of self-discovery. And the question around why is that something that you desire more than a program where you create modules and you have lessons? If you feel like you need the lessons, why? Why do you feel like you need lessons? Because it feels more secure, because you don't trust yourself to teach in real time, because you would rather have something that people can move through so that even if you can't coach them the way that you want to on the live call, at least they have this and you know that that's really valuable. Do you want a bigger program because it feels more successful to have branding and an app and a website and all of these things? And if that's the case, why do you not feel enough on your own? I think the true test of safety is, do you feel like you could invite these people onto a call with you without any extras, just you and the opinions that you have and the way that you see the world and the way that you engage with them and the way that you coach them, and feel enough without extras? And then allowing the extras to become an amplification of who you are, not a replacement of who you are. I think sitting with that can be really valuable. And if you're standing alone, what is the experience that you're creating with that person or those people without extras to help you, with just you? How can you create that experience that you most desire? Just with your voice, just with your energy, just with your presence, just with the spaces that you create for them to step into. What would that look like? So I really, before you move on to the next part of this series, we're going to talk about simplicity and why I really feel like this is so powerful, and how complexity is incredibly costly, especially when we're starting to create a new program or a new offering. But before you move on to that, I really, really highly recommend that you sit in your creative ritual and then from that place access your do-don't list. What is the experience you want to create for others? What is the experience you want to create for yourself? What does that not involve? What does that not look like? And from that place, what could it look like? What if? And let yourself dream big. Let yourself put on that list crazy bold ideas, knowing that you don't necessarily need to include all of them or move on all of them, but I feel as though when you open yourself up to really just express the eccentric part of you, that part of you that's like a big dreamer, the what if this could work? What if I could do it my way? What would I do? What would it look like? Just putting that on paper makes you see that your crazy out of this world idea actually is totally doable and might look different than the way you're being told to do things. It may challenge a very traditional way of doing things, but that doesn't make it immediately wrong. It just makes it wrong to the person who doesn't believe it will work because they are bought into a different path. And that's okay. That's okay. Can we feel safe in this moment? Can we cultivate safety and self-trust in this moment to just put it on paper and look at it? And from that place, start to play with it. Well, if I did things that way, what structures would be around it? If I did things this way, how would I want interactions to look? If I did things this way, what would I want to speak on? What would I not want to speak on? And just having the courage to see it for the first time can really open a lot of creative channels and just, it can really allow you to step into a place where anything is possible and get excited about the fact that maybe your path is meant to be completely different than what you've been told up till this point. So spend some time here, sit with that, and when you're ready, we'll move on to part three. Thank you so much for listening. It really means a lot that you took the time to be here and share a piece of your day with me. As always, if there's anything I can do to support you further, or if any questions came up for you as you were listening, or if you simply just have a topic in mind that you'd really love to hear me speak into on the show, just look for a link in the show notes called Connect with Laura. That way you can let me know where you're at or what's coming up for you. These messages come direct to my inbox, by the way, so I always personally reply to every response that I get. Okay, I'll see you next time. Bye for now.